We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
And there will be a game five. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 490, brought to you by DoorDash and Bet Online. All right.
We got it.
We got a game five.
This is what you said-ish, a little backwards, but it happened. They won the other day, though. They won the non-Tanaka start because Jordan Montgomery was terrific.
Well,
he was all right. He was very good for the moment. Very good for the moment.
I think we need to recalibrate our use of terrific.
Well, no, because nobody knows what a quality start is anymore. So at this point, if a starting pitcher gives me two and a third, the Yankees are still in the game, I'm happy. My standards have been lowered to the basement.
Here's what was terrific. If you just say the Yankees pitching staff tonight was terrific.
They were.
Because you had Montgomery, and the plan was, we all thought, and I mean, even Boone said this, it's Montgomery to Devi Garcia with possibly a reliever in the middle if we need to get out of a jam in an inning. And I was happy that Chad Green was warming up in the third inning when Montgomery had the bases loaded, because I talked about this last night. Just because it's the third inning doesn't mean you can't bring Chad Green in. So I was like, right. Oh, great. Like, Boone's actually thinking straight tonight.
But it's Montgomery, it's a clear mind day. He took his Xanax, we're all good.
He took his alpha brain and he was on point tonight. So except for not letting Britton finish the eighth inning, but whatever. When you look at it that way and you're like, okay, Chad Green was maybe the best he's looked all season, just unhittable. And there was a point where he was sixth inning, one run. Six innings, one run. Okay, we're taking that every time. Don't care how we got there.
Let's back up. No, but we should identify how we got there, because it was Jordan freaking Montgomery who got us through the first four innings. And that, you look at that, and that's, he walked three guys. There were some hits. He was in trouble, got out of it. So pitching out of jams too, good for him.
I'm a little surprised they let him pitch through those jams, because this is a do or die night.
I am very surprised when your boy was up in the third inning to close it
Chad
out.
Green.
Two outs. Huh?
Wait, what are you talking
about? Rosarino was up against Montgomery, and he let him. I thought for sure he was going to get pulled at that point, and no, he let him pitch. Like, it's a terrible matchup. It looks like a terrible matchup.
Yeah.
Yankees are up 2-1 at that point.
2-1, lefty ready against the hottest hitter on the Rays team, who's been mashing the ball, and you have Chad Green ready to go. If Boone went to Chad Green right there, that, in my mind, is the right move.
Right. I was very surprised that Montgomery stood in for that bat. It worked out great, so perfect, but it was risky, especially the way he's been swinging the bat.
It was a 2-1 game at that point. It's not even like you could say, well, we're just banking on getting a ton of runs off of Yarborough at that point. I mean, they ended up getting a couple more, but
I don't think you can bank on getting a bunch of runs off of anybody on this team, to be honest. Like, you got to play for every lead. If you have a lead, you try to hold that goddamn lead.
So
he had faith in Montgomery. Montgomery pitched out of it. It was a gamble, and he did it. So good for him.
It was a gamble. Maybe he was just really trying to avoid Devi Garcia at all cost.
Maybe, just because Devi Garcia is probably the only other guy, I guess Jay Happ would be the other guy too, that could potentially give you a little bit of length tomorrow if needed.
Yeah,
you have Michael King too.
So you've got Michael King and Nick Nelson and Luis Sessa, who could all go two innings apiece. And then you've got Devi Garcia, who if you're in just some crazy extra inning game, could go six innings.
Yeah, but I think Devi Garcia is even coming in earlier than that.
They are.
I think Michael King is the guy that you probably stretch in extras if needed.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
be the last guy in there, I would assume.
It all depends on how Gerrit Cole pitches, because if Gerrit Cole gets you through five plus innings and you've got a tie game or a one run lead, do you really go to Devi Garcia in that situation, or do you go to Zach Britton?
Yeah, you start bringing in your high leverage guys at that point. Right. And you try to tack some runs on.
So you might never get to Devi Garcia in tomorrow's game if all things go to plan.
Right. Yeah. Very possible. I'm just saying I think that avoiding him tonight was just a little bit more of an insurance policy. If he was able to get those four innings through one guy instead of two guys, now you have a little bit more ammunition for tomorrow night if needed.
Well,
but it was risky.
I thought
Montgomery through three was a stretch, and I was like, okay, he's definitely pulling him after three. But
say no. Chad Green had to come in and mop up that third inning to get out of it, then maybe we see Devi Garcia start the fourth.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's in just for, because at that point it's really only like max two innings, I guess. But so I wouldn't even be surprised if they brought somebody else in that was just more used to being in a relief position.
Yeah,
because it probably would have only been one inning. Like a Jonathan Holder, I would expect Boone to bring in a guy like Holder for an inning instead of Garcia. If you were trying to get two to three innings, then maybe.
So who are the guys? What's the order? We do have to talk about game four because obviously, but
yeah, let's get to that one. Well, let's get to that one afterwards. Let's talk about game four.
All right. So
we won game four. That was awesome.
One game four. So yeah, it was the pitching stepped up. There's literally just no other way to say it. Top to bottom, the pitching stepped up. Chad Green, I thought, looked the best he's looked all season. Zach Britton was unhittable. I was even questioning why you bring him out. Why are you taking him out in the eighth inning? Just let him finish it and then go to Chapman in the ninth. Not that I was like really in danger of, I was thinking that the game was in danger. It was just like, I've never seen Zach Britton pitch this good. Like, don't take him out. What are you doing? He's not even breaking a sweat out there.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There was a plan there, obviously, but, you know, he's definitely going to be ready to rumble for tomorrow night, which is a positive thing. Very good thing.
Yeah, I guess you just try and save all the bullets you possibly can.
Yeah, but you're also bringing in Chapman. So Chapman can go again tomorrow, though.
Well, it's the first time he's pitched in the series. Britton and Chapman.
I'm saying like he could go two innings tomorrow. I would be fine pitching Chapman two innings tomorrow.
You might have to.
I would be fine with it.
It's not ideal. But
does he get tired? He sweats a lot, but I'm not even like that. There's no way that really actually makes him tired. Guys,
well, I mean, we saw him pitch three innings in the World Series a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and so, he clearly got tired. I mean, give up the game.
He's put on like 20 pounds of muscle since then.
That's right.
Haven't you seen the jiu-jitsu?
He's been doing squats. He's on the Arazarono diet.
Yeah. 15 pounds chicken and rice. Nah, he's eating more than that, and he's definitely lifting more than that. Starting off the game, Voit, last night we were talking about he struggled in the season. Maybe the foot is finally catching up to production. And, you know, who knows, maybe it is affecting him in a little bit more of an everyday capacity, but dinger today.
Well, you know what it is. It's whoever bats fifth hits a home run for the Yankees.
Maybe that's it. They should put Aaron Judge in the fifth spot.
That's where I was going next, because the Yankees had an opportunity in the second inning to just bust the game open, and then you can cruise to the game if they get a big hit with the bases loaded. They had bases loaded, nobody out. Thompson, the Rays opener, is wild. He's walking guys. He loads the bases, and they just can't get the hit. They can't get the hit to put the game on ice. Not that it would have even put the game on ice in the second inning, but you get a double in the gap there, or even a single to score a couple runs. It's much more breathing room for Montgomery. It's much more breathing room for the entire night.
I mean, if he gets a big hit there, you might have Montgomery going six innings. Yeah.
Right. Because if you have a 5-1 lead,
you keep going.
You let him go out there. Because like you said, I mean, you called it a terrific performance. I think maybe under the circumstances of a win or go home.
That's what I mean. You have to look at what the situation was. And for a guy that hasn't, what was it, 13 days? He didn't pitch in 13 days.
Right. So, yeah, they just bases loaded. But the Rays also left the bases loaded. The Rays squandered opportunities tonight. So, yeah. Shoes on the other foot.
Yeah, good.
And Glaber, after falling a ball off of his shin, which for a second I thought like he broke his shin. Because he was really hobbling around. I was thinking of Jermaine Dye. Remember Jermaine Dye did that?
That was a long time ago. Was he with the White Sox when he did that?
No, he's with the Oakland Athletics when he did that. He broke his shin bone. This is probably like 2002 or something. Yeah. And not that I thought...
2002, you know, I was drunk.
I was 14.
I was drunk.
Maybe I was drunk. No. But I thought he was going to come out of the game. Because when he tried to stand back up and then crouch back down, I was like, uh-oh. I don't think he's staying in this game.
Deep bone contusion. He's going to feel that one. Hopefully he's not. He's probably going to be stiff.
He hit the home run, so that's obviously feeling good. But do you think we get something tomorrow where it's like, oh, well, it stiffened up on him tonight. Glaber's questionable for the start of
he's not going to be questionable. He's playing. But yeah, it's probably going to stiffen up. I mean, he'll be okay. As long as there's nothing broken in there. And I would assume there's not because he's still out there. But yeah. He should be fine.
Yeah.
I got drilled by softball tonight. I still played.
Where'd you get drilled?
I was playing shortstop and a ball popped up on me and hit me in the arm, like right in the freaking, like under my elbow. They send you out there in these landmine fields.
divots and rocks all over the place. Balls.
Yeah, and like the ball was smoked at me and then it just popped up and nailed me in the arm.
Is it an all dirt infield?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that moves quickly.
Yeah. I usually play a little deeper these days.
Do you have the arm for it? Let's just break down your softball game.
Yeah, the arm's all right. I mean, if I get there on time, and then I can like warm up a little bit, but usually I don't. So, you know, it's hit or miss. It's accurate. It does the job. You guys have counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right to your door. Ordering is extremely easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and the food is delivered right to you safely outside your door, and you can now choose their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. I use it all the time. It's a terrific app, and there's a lot of local restaurants that you can get as well. There are way more than you expect that are included with DoorDash. Bevan and I use this app probably twice a week, so definitely recommend going on and buying it, especially with the code that we're about to give you. Many of the local restaurants are still open for delivery, so you can just use DoorDash, select from their menu, choose the food you want, and they bring it right to you, and it usually happens pretty fast, and you can track the people as they come, which is fun to know, because now you know when your food is coming exactly to the minute. So right now, all of our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fee with their first order of $15 or more. Just download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. There's also the baseball playoffs going on. Maybe you've heard. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use our promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, to get your welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So not that I want to gloss over game four, but it turned out to be kind of an uneventful win when you just think back on the game. And it's all I can think of right now is what's going to happen in game five.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not fair to do because up until that home run, the Glaber home run,
it was a tight game.
It's a tight game. Like a lot of bad things could happen, especially when you know that you have to be pretty much perfect on the pitching staff. Cause if you start to get in any trouble, like, you know, bad things could happen and then you're big trouble if you do sneak out of the game. So it went well because of that insurance home run, because of, you know, the lead that they got, they were able to really go to plan. And that was, I think, important for them to you know, at least set themselves up for success tomorrow night.
Ooh, a little bit of a curveball. It's Garrett Cole versus Tyler Glasnow tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting, I was not going to be surprised if they said Glasnow. They're both ready to go.
So Glasnow is just going to pitch an inning, I bet. I bet they're going to open with Glasnow against the righty bats and then bring in Blake Snell as the opener.
I mean, the Yankees have all righty bats, so it's not
But you've got LeMahieu, Judge, Hicks' switch, and then Stanton. And maybe Voit. I don't know. Maybe he's going five batters. Glasnow.
What is he? Are they going to pull him for the bottom of the order and then not try to pitch the top again?
Well, he's on 2 days rest, so yeah, I don't think he's going much.
We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw two to three innings.
I would be surprised if he throws anything more than six outs. So okay. Anything more than two innings.
So it's going to be Glasnow to Snell then.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know why. I don't know why he's
unless
doing
they
it
have
that
like
way.
a fire extinguisher in the middle of their you know, an inning somewhere in there.
Well, yeah, I mean they didn't use.
They'll bring in Snell for the next clean inning.
They didn't use their top arms. Castillo didn't pitch. No. Anderson didn't pitch tonight. No. So
they have everybody.
Their closer, what's his name? Funkhauser.
They have like nine closers.
The guy who was pooping himself on the mound the other night begins with an F. Fairbanks. So
Funkhauser? That's where you went?
Yeah. it's a curb your enthusiasm reference.
All right. I know what it is.
So I don't know. Does the Glasnow move scare?
Every time I hear Funkhauser, I think of Larry David on the LAX. Is the LA, what is it? What's the highway? The LAX.
I don't live in Southern California.
The highway is picking up a hooker so that he can go in the HOV lane to the Dodger game.
Did you see the
solid move
documentary
solid move.
About that? How that game got a guy off of murder?
Oh yeah,
did we talk about this?
It's on Netflix. I've seen it. It's been out for a long time.
Yeah. So Garrett Cole has never pitched on 3 days rest in his career.
Ooh.
Blake Snell has pitched on 2 days rest, but that was just in relief. I don't know about Tyler Glasnow. I didn't look him up. So does Garrett Cole never have done this before?
I'd say it's pretty safe to say that Glasnow has not done it.
Yeah, probably not. Does this, what are you feeling going into tomorrow? I mean, obviously this is as good of a situation as you could hope if you're the Yankees at this point. You've got your guy going against them in a do or die. Like, this is why they paid $324 million for Garrett Cole. It's to take the ball in a game five, must win, and shove.
Yeah. He has not done that against the Rays yet.
What he did in game one, is that good enough for game five?
Yeah, I think that's good enough for game five. I would have accepted that way more for game five than game one. Like to game one, was like, okay.
But so if he goes six innings, three runs, that was what it was, right?
If he did that or close to that, I would say that's a positive. But I also expect him to not give up anything.
Yeah, I could see him.
I walk into every single Garrett Cole start expecting dominance.
So I don't know how the 3 days rest is going to affect him. It affects pitchers all differently, but one thing that you might see is instead of fatiguing at 100 pitches, he's fatiguing at 75 pitches. So it's just a little bit tighter leash.
Well, when he fatigues, I mean, I could see it rearing a little earlier because I think on a short rest, you're gonna feel it earlier. I don't know if you necessarily, you know, lose velocity or, but he's going to lose.
Did you hear
location.
Justin Verlander? Yeah, Verlander talked about this in the past when he would go on 3 days rest, and he said the biggest issue is command.
Right.
It's not velocity.
It makes sense because the arm is still going to go. Like that's just
mechanics.
At that point.
Mechanics break down.
Yeah. So, but it's the touch, and then the feeling, and you lose the control, and you lose like the touch of the just your fingertips on the ball. I think so. We'll see how if his command is good early and then can stay That's it. Like, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the command of his fastball. If he can command that fastball and still live off that fastball, we're in business.
Well, I'm not worried about the early innings because I think, like we just said, it probably might crop up in the fourth or fifth inning.
And I want him to get off on a good footing and just like feel good about it, because I feel like in a game five like this, you also have those endorphins with the adrenaline like pumping in, and it you're going to fatigue a little bit, but you're probably not going to feel it that much either. I don't know. I feel like these guys get to that high where...
What do you mean feel it though? Like, you could have the endorphins and the adrenaline going, but your body's used to a certain recovery. So if your body has not recovered from throwing whatever...
Are you trying to be a doctor right now? Is that what's happening?
No, pitchers have talked about this for years about going on short rest. Like, your body is used to something every week, every year for the past 20 years for these guys. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing something different. Not going to say he's not going to suck, but it's realistic to think he's good for four innings and then he's going to not be his normal self.
I think that the brain can trick the body into thinking that it's okay. I think that happens quite often, actually. And that's what the endorphins do.
When you're running a marathon, pitching, like, though. That's different. You're just one foot in front of the other.
Your brain is just like taking over. And it's like, oh, we're on autopilot now. And I feel like in a moment like this, you're out there because the intensity is high, and you have a job to do, and like, it's laser focus, and your body doesn't have time to react yet. That's what I'm banking on.
Hopefully. And you got Britton still. You got Chapman still.
Look at CeCe, Milwaukee CeCe.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy was pitching out of his mind like every night.
It affects everyone differently. But he paid the price for that.
Yeah. I mean, he did, but he was also good after that too.
So I don't know if Chad Green is going to pitch.
He won a World Series.
In the playoffs that year in 2008, he got lit up.
Yeah. Chad Green is probably not going to be, he's not going to be the guy that's coming out in like the sixth or fifth inning, most likely. No. I feel like if they go to Chad Green, it's going to be because of, you know, an extra inning scenario or someone that's like, either do we go to Chad Green or do we go to, well, that would be risky because you'd have to stay with three if you don't get the one out.
Oh shit! The three batter rule. Sixth inning, two runners on, Rosarena up.
I don't like that. Because
two outs.
I would be a little worried that Chad Green wouldn't have his control coming out two days in a row, two innings each.
Yeah. Yep.
I would be a little worried that he doesn't have control.
A lot of B whips today. Ton of B whips.
Yes, and you get Rosarena in there, and I'm proud of us both for saying his name right each time. I'm proud of you for not putting
it's
a U
not,
in there.
So you took off the A, and it's not. It's a Rosarena. That's how you say it. A Rosarena. I Rosarena. Practiced it today like 100 times.
In the mirror?
In my mind, a Rosarena, a Rosarena, a Rosarena.
Yeah, I can't hear the A when you say that, though. Like, if you say it fast, you don't hear the A. That's my point. I was just trying to coach you up to get you to say it correctly, and nobody would have known the difference if you were saying the A or not, because you really can't hear the A. So that's it. That's what I was doing. It's like paint the fence.
So maybe Chad Green is not touching this game, and I know everyone's
trust
available.
Technically everyone's
available in a must win, but two days of two innings might be his limit.
Again, I think it's more like a if you're in the 10th inning, or even, you know, if it even goes beyond that, and you're down to a couple guys, and it's between Michael King and Chad Green in a situation, you might go Chad Green, because knowing that King will potentially get you some length, so you're trying to like extend the game a little bit more. So I could see in that scenario, like, it depends on who he's going up against. I mean, I might want to bring him in instead of Loaiza, to be honest, because Loaiza's been terrible. Ottavino, are there runners on? Not yet.
Like, this is other than Chapman and Britton, how are you, what's your
confidence meter on these guys?
Not confidence. What's your order of bringing them out? Is it Holder?
I feel like
next?
Jonathan Holder's probably the Chad Green.
Okay. Is is does Nick Nelson sneak in there?
Yo, Nick Nelson's been pitching well. I mean, maybe this is the breakout moment for Nick Nelson, and he's going to come in. He throws freaking hard.
So
I like him.
You got Holder and then Nick Nelson, and then do you get to Johnny Loaiziga or Adam Ottavino, or do you go
it's
to Michael
Ottavino
King
before
first?
Loaiziga, I think, at this point. I think Ottavino showed a little bit more in his last outing that if you can get the right matchups and pray to God that he doesn't walk the first batter, then you – and he has a clean inning – and starts the inning. As long as he doesn't walk that first batter, there's not
and
a runner on
facing little
second.
League hitters.
Yeah. But if he does walk the batter, that means there's a runner on second. So as long as you don't have a runner in scoring position to start the inning and he doesn't walk the first guy and there's righties up, you might be okay with him.
Do you see Tanaka?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Again, it would have to go deep. I don't want Tanaka in the game in a relief appearance. I just don't want
so, that. And then there's obviously Devi Garcia and J-Hap. Yeah, and the ironic thing...
And it would be J-Hap probably before Tanaka anyway.
Yeah, you got it. The ironic thing is J-Hap might be coming out of the bullpen again to give him length if they need it in a situation.
It's true. Yeah.
And if not, then he might be your game one ALCS starter if you win.
Right. What? How many are there days off after this?
One day off.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, MLB.
The LCS starts Sunday.
Is it in San Diego or Arlington?
San Diego.
All right.
Garrett Cole would not be able to pitch until game three, which would be also on short rest. Game four on 4 days rest.
Does it rain in San Diego?
Mm-mm. No. Although we did have a marine layer tonight, which caused the ball not to travel.
What does that mean?
It's, I believe,
like a film in the air.
Yeah, I believe it's less humid. There was a lot less humidity in the air. And
a marine? You say a marine air? A layer?
Marine layer. That's what the Twitter.
That
people
would
were
that
saying.
Would. If I were just looking at that and heard that for the first time, I would think that there would be more humidity. In
okay,
the air.
Then that's what it was. I don't know. I'm not a weatherman. it's whatever it was. It was cooler. And the ball was not traveling as far as it was the first couple nights. There were a couple balls hit to center field that I thought were definitely gone. One off of the bat of Voit and one off of, I forget who hit it for the Rays. I think it was Margot.
Dead center. It was a two outs. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought both of those were gone. I mean, last night, both of those are off the the padding behind the wall.
So a cool weather, humid night, balls don't fly. Hot and humid, balls are out the just getting launched.
Hot and humid, but also thin air, like Colorado.
That's different.
Balls fly.
You got altitude and play there.
Yeah. So whatever it was, the ball wasn't flying. And even Aaron Hicks hit a ball to the wall.
It's a heavy, a heavy air.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. The fact that the Yankees are now going into game five after game four happened and Montgomery pitched four innings. And the Yankees pitching staff actually showed up and did well. And then the bats got enough runs to force a game five. And Garrett Cole is coming in on short rest. And who knows, he might only, if they do win this game, going against the Astros, his former employer, they're not going to, he's not going to be able to see them
That's
until gotta game
be,
three.
As if you needed more motivation to beat the Rays, knowing that the Astros are waiting for you in the ALCS for the Yankees has to motivate you even more.
Yeah, I think so.
You can exercise your demons against the Rays, who have been punching you all season, won the AL East. Mm-hmm. You can beat them coming back from down in the series.
And those cocksuckers are waiting for you.
Then you can go and you can wipe the floor with the Houston Astros. That if that does not motivate you as the Yankees, you have no stones. You have no cojones.
And they do. They have
them. We'll see. Let's see if they do. They need to win game five and then they need to go and stomp the Astros. Because I believe they will stomp the Astros. I said my confidence level for entering the Rays series was zero. My confidence level, if they get past the Rays for entering the Houston Astros, is a 10 out of 10. Because there is no way they will lose to the Astros. The Rays, that's a different story. There's still a long way to go in Game 5, even though they have Garrett Cole on the mound. The Rays are a good team. I don't think the Astros are a good team. I mean, the Astros still have hitters, but
I don't really like what you're saying, to be honest. I don't like your tone. I don't like the positivity in your voice.
How is that positivity? I just said they first have to get through the Rays.
Because you said a 10 out of 10 against the Astros. I don't like that. I don't like that. That's especially with your best pitcher not on full rest until game four.
Well, actually, they wouldn't have any pitchers because they would have to go J-Hap, then Masahiro Tanaka, and then Devi Garcia. Hopefully, they let him pitch more than one inning. And then it would be Gerrit Cole.
Jordan Montgomery, don't worry. Don't forget.
All right, Jordan Montgomery.
They're probably on short rest, dominate.
Well, it's a situation where for the ALCS, if it went seven games, J-Hap might have to pitch three times.
Love that. Love the chances there.
Against Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. Yeah.
Do you want to read this this mailbag we got? It was a DM on Twitter.
It's interesting. I forgot about that. So this is from Football Film Room.
You want me to read it? I'll read it. Since 2017, Yankees in the playoffs are 2-13 when they score four runs or less.
15, how many did they score tonight?
Five. They 15-2 when they score five or more.
Make that 16-2.
Speaks to their lack of starting pitching and pitching in general. Can't win unless offense crushes, which doesn't happen consistently in the playoffs against better starting pitching, and certainly won't happen for four playoff series against the best teams in Major League Baseball. By contrast, World Series winners since 2017 can still win when they get little offense. 10-15 in games where they score four or less. 24-0 when they score five or more.
So what do these stats tell you?
Those are interesting numbers.
What do they tell you?
There was also a tweet that was sent by Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. And he was talking about the home run totals.
Oh, it's off the charts. The Astros and the A's set a record.
Home run totals in the regular season and like the records going in. Just he was talking about contact, and I got to read it back. Go if you're listening. Go look back at Jared Diamond's tweet. It was also interesting. Just the correlation of success in the playoffs and the power and strikeouts in the regular season. There was a big correlation to it.
Anyway, so if you strike out more, then you have less success in the playoffs. Was that the correlation?
Well, no. So if you hit more home runs in the playoffs, you win.
Well, duh.
Every time, but in the regular season, it didn't give you the winning percentage that it did in the playoffs. Oh, it was. Okay. I got to look it up. I shouldn't have brought it up. Anyway, okay. This one is. This one here, when you're talking about the four runs or less, it is interesting. It does talk to the pitching staff. It means that you have to score a lot of runs in order to win.
It says that you still need to have quality pitching.
Have to freaking mash if they're gonna continue because they don't have
that might not be realistic because
it's a matter of setting yourselves up for success and they're just not in that position.
Mashing every night in the playoffs is not realistic.
It's not realistic. But in their situation, I mean, unless Gerrit Cole's on the mound.
Oh, I know. And
this team is not set up for that right now.
Technically, they didn't have to mash the ball tonight. They could have gotten away with it tonight. But look at the last two nights.
Yeah.
So it goes to me like you these stats, and when teams score five or more runs, they're 24-0. That's because these World Series winning teams, think about the rotations these World Series winning teams have had. They've had unbelievable starting rotations. Obviously, the Nationals last year with their three big starters. The Red Sox had a great rotation in 2018, and the Astros had a great rotation in 2017.
And the other thing about them is that a lot of those teams also made a lot of contact. Yeah. Not many strikeouts.
No.
Here and it is. I know that. I found it. I had to look it up because I was destroying it when I was trying to remember what it was. The best predictor of postseason success comes down to one stat, a team's regular season strikeout rate. It's actually nothing what I was saying. In all playoff series since 2000, the better team in that department has won 63% of the time. The Astros had the lowest K percentage in baseball this year.
So the Astros, people are still shitting all over the Astros because of their record, and a lot of their guys had lower batting averages, but they still don't strike out a lot.
No other regular season stat has quite as so much predictive power. The team that scored more runs in the regular season wins 55% of the time. That's what I was talking about.
It wasn't just home runs.
I said home runs.
The team that scores more runs in the regular season should win 100% of the time.
The team that scores more runs in the regular season wins 50% of their playoff series. No, it's correlation from the regular season to the playoffs.
I got
55% of their playoff series.
I was like, wait a minute.
More home runs in the... They win 51% of the time. That's what I was referring to.
Okay. So it's really the strikeouts. Better ERA is huge.
Just a 50.7 success rate.
So it's the strikeouts
matter. Yeah.
It's the strikeouts.
It's leaving opportunities on the base paths.
Yeah. And the Yankees still did that tonight.
But in Cleveland, they took advantage. Game one, they took advantage. So they've done it recently. It's not like they haven't done it in a long time. We're not in one of these horrible, runner in scoring position Yankee streaks that we've been in over the past, 3 to 4 years, because we've seen some dog shit ones.
Oh, there's certainly guys in the lineup right now, because they have gotten into situations in 17, 18, and 19 in the playoffs where the entire lineup, 1 through 9, you have no confidence in.
Right.
I mean, anyone comes up and you're like, this guy can't.
Tanaka, remember, we're like, in the wild card game, if Tanaka gives up one run, we're screwed.
So, but this year, even though Judge is really struggling, Hicks has had a great postseason, Stanton's on fire, Voit has been so-so, Gio's been solid, Gardner had was on base 3 times tonight.
Glaber's picked it up. Glaber had a good first series, was struggling early, but obviously tonight turned it around.
So there's still holes, but it's not Higgy's 9 holes. There's still holes in the lineup, but it's sporadic. There's not 9 holes in the lineup. And Judge is the biggest hole right now in the lineup.
Yeah, and they're not right. That's right. And it hasn't been home run or bust either in these playoffs. Totally.
I mean,
Cleveland, it wasn't.
Well,
for game one, it wasn't. And in this series,
yeah, it was.
I mean, there were still other things that happened. I mean, yeah, the home runs were nice as well, but it was a little, sprinkling a lot of it.
No. Think about the games that they've won. They've hit multiple home runs in all of those games.
Yes, but my point is that they were also taking advantage of opportunities with runners on.
If the Yankees hit multiple home runs in game 5, they'll probably win. And if they hit multiple home runs in all their games, that's when they win. It's when they don't hit multiple home runs, they don't win. It's like really that simple for this team.
What if J-Hap starting?
Well, it might not matter.
Or pitching in the second inning.
It might not matter. All right. So how are you feeling going into game 5?
I'm excited. I'm excited about game 5. That's what I am. I am excited.
Do you know what I hope does not happen? So the Dodgers could win their series tonight. And if they do, they're up 7-2 right now. I bet they move the Yankees-Rays game to 8 p.m. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, is tomorrow Friday? Tomorrow's Friday, so...
It doesn't matter. I need sleep.
There's nothing different between Thursdays and Fridays or Wednesdays. But I don't really give a shit. I just want...
That's an extra hour of pacing around your house.
Yeah, I want Gerrit Cole to come out here and just be that guy again. I need him. I need it. This is what we've been asking for. We've been asking for this horse, this bona fide ace for such
They've
a
never
long
had
time.
They haven't had it in the playoffs since Sabathia. You have the Yankees have not been able to go into a playoff start and 100% without a doubt say we have the pitching edge.
Yeah.
Every time it's been, well, they've got Verlander, they've got Keuchel, they've got Chris Sale, something. Now the other team's saying they've got Gerrit Cole. And the Yankees just need to continue to win all of his games. They didn't do the Tanaka thing, but now they got to win all of... I've changed it. Now they got to win all of the Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery games.
Big, yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited for this game because I do think that the Yankees are going to be... I think it's going to be an intense game. I think that Tampa... It's going to be freaking difficult to score runs.
Well, because all of their good bullpen arms.
So,
Nick Anderson's got 2 innings. Castillo's probably got 2 innings.
So you're right. This game is definitely going to have to probably... It's going to be a home run game. If they don't score on the home run, but I don't see this team stringing together hits against the arsenal that they're about to throw at us. Unless they're able to get to Glasnow. And so I think their best... I actually think their best opportunity is the starters. Against Glasnow and against Snell, because these other guys that are coming in are rested and ready to go and are just specialists for 1 to 2 innings, probably 2 innings, and they're going to be difficult to get anything against. So
they all have weird arm angles, weird leg kicks.
How satisfying was it today when Voit hit that home run off of that disgusting delivery? Yeah. It was like, I don't even know. It looked like he was doing those hula dances, and you know, when you get off the plane in Hawaii or whatever, and I don't even know what was happening with, you see the replay of that. It looks absolutely ridiculous.
Where do they find these guys?
And then Voit just smacks his face he just smacks the shit out of the ball. It's like in Indiana Jones. When that guy's like wielding the sword and he's just like going all nuts with the sword. He's like a big tough guy. And then Indiana Jones like pulls out a gun and just shoots him in the face. Like that's what it was. He's like, this guy looks like an ass. And it was similar to what happened in Cleveland when Wild Thing went out there and was like doing all this
stupid antics.
And then he just gets shot in the face.
The Wild Thing was especially satisfying because he was legitimately trying to be Charlie Sheen, and then Gio Urshela just took him to the moon.
And it was Gio Urshela who did it too. Like, what a dumbass that guy was.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
I will always smile thinking about that one.
I mean, as filthy as both Snell and Glasnow are, I agree with you that at least the Yankees have shown they've gotten to those guys.
Yeah, they're on short rest. So they're a little bit of an unknown. They're not at their peak performance.
That's why I think it's really Glasnow for one inning, because he is on 2 days rest. So it's Glasnow for one inning and then Blake Snell for 3 innings.
Possibly.
And then the rest of their guys for 2 innings.
I mean, it makes sense. You're right. He's probably not going to go beyond much of the first inning.
And the reason that Cash is probably doing Glasnow first is because then you can go a righty to start the game and then put in lefties in the middle innings and then go back to these filthy, sidewinding, leg-kicking righties.
It doesn't matter, though, because the Yankees don't have like guys to counteract
It's a different look.
If
you're Giancarlo Stanton, your first at-bat is against Tyler Glasnow, your second at-bat is against Blake Snell, your third at-bat is against Nick Anderson. That's freaking unfair.
Yeah, you got to get to the first two. We're not going to touch... Nick Anderson is good. It's very good.
I believe he had like the most reliever value in baseball this year.
So, do you wish for a marine layer tomorrow night or no marine layer? Because I feel like it helps the Yankees.
Yeah, because
the Yankees are going to hit through a marine layer.
Well, because also
knocks down Tampa balls.
Yeah, because like, you know, G-Man Choi might be taking Garrett Cole deep again, and that marine layer might knock his ball to the warning track instead.
Yeah,
if Giancarlo gets a hold of one, it's going upper tank no matter what.
He-Man Choi's home runs are the hang time of a He-Man Choi home run is pretty significant. So
can we not give up home runs to He-Man Choi tomorrow night, please, Garrett Cole?
Yeah. I don't want that to be a focus of his, because I feel like that will psych him, that will just get him in a bad place. He shouldn't be there. He should just be another guy and stop acting like it's He-Man Choi for whatever reason. There's nothing to fear there.
It's He-Man Choi.
Someone needs to tell him that it's He-Man Choi. Like, just hold on. That's not Tony Gwynn. That's He-Man Choi. Garrett.
Tony Gwynn.
I don't know. What are you doing? That's
Tony
He-Man
Choi. Hit homers.
That's He-Man Choi. There's no reason. Don't be scared. There's no reason to fear this man.
Garrett, you got your fat first baseman mixed up. That's not David Ortiz. That is He-Man Choi.
He-Man right. Choi. That's not the guy that can beat us. That is not the guy that can beat us.
If He-Man Choi beats
I really liked He-Man Choi. He was a lovable guy. He was a first baseman that I was getting behind, and I don't appreciate what he's doing right now, to be honest.
So I like your plan, your strategy, not strategy, but what you've said, that get to either Glasnow or Snell, because if you go into those late innings down by a run with all those bullpen arms, it's just going to feel daunting.
So let me ask you a question about that. Going up against them, knowing that they're on short rest, and if that's the game plan, let's just say that is the game plan, that they feel that they have an opportunity to strike against those two guys. Are you aggressive early in the count? Because if you are and it doesn't work, now you're stretching that game out and their relievers are going to be that much more effective because they're probably going to get a little bit more out of Snell or...
Yeah, but like how much more are they going to get? They're on limited pitch counts anyway. I mean, even when he's fully rested, he's on like a 90 pitch count.
The risk is definitely diminished because they're on a shorter pitch count. So
they're
I'm
not
saying,
letting them go multiple times through the order anyway.
So then you're aggressive. So. You're looking for something.
You've got to be.
You're looking for something in the strike zone early, and you're fucking swinging that bat.
And it's the exact opposite game plan for the Rays. It's work Garrett Cole's pitch count.
Yes.
Get into the bullpen.
Right.
And the Yankees, it's if you see a good pitch from Glasnow, you don't take it.
Right.
You have to hit
it.
No one's taking pitches tomorrow.
And that's you know, we'll see what their game plan is with off speed because they could make them look foolish if their game plan is executed. We'll see. But
all right, let me quickly just check Twitter to make sure there's no more crazy updates. Gleyber Torres says he's feeling fine.
Yeah. Rub some dirt on it, Gleyber. He's good. There's no way he's missing this game.
Luke Voit is wearing two chains and a black V-neck in his post-game press conference. Of course he is.
Gabagool.
Jordan Montgomery smiling ear to ear. Hold on. I want to go back to where I saw the Glasnow.
What did Boone say?
Fine sin. I haven't seen anything. Yeah. So. Oh. Mark Feinsand, if the Dodgers wrap up their series tonight, the Yankees Rays game 5 will begin at 7:10 Eastern Friday. Okay. So it's 7.
So they're not changing it.
If the Padres face a game 4, then the Yankees Rays would start at 6:00 Eastern.
Oh, there you go. This is like,
so let's go Padres. I have not seen any quotes from Aaron Boone. I mean, what's he going to say?
I'm just wondering if he's announcing Cole.
No, I mean, it's everyone's saying it's Cole versus Glasnow.
All right, great. So, it's 8-2 Dodgers. It's not happening. I don't see the Padres coming back in this game.
Slam Diego Padres. What a run it was for you. Okay, that's going to do it for this show. Scott, do you want to say anything else, or can I end it?
No, you ended it too abruptly last night, and tonight is going to be a different story. We're gonna come out there and we're going to freaking win this game, and then we're going to go and beat the Houston Astros. Like everything should. That's the way it should go down. That's the way it's going to go down. Garrett Cole is going to shove tomorrow night. It's going to be great. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We have a guy that we have a lot of confidence in going up in a must-win game against the Tampa Rays, who need to be shut down. You know what I mean? Like, they need to be, like, little brother's done enough. That's enough. Enough out of you. Get out of my face. The Yankees got to win this. They got to stomp on them. They got to go in with confidence and just swing those bats.
That's bye. It.
Let's win.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.